Okay, so you've got me today, and I'm just going to share some scriptures. I'm going to share some stories, one story that I've just, I don't know, maybe God's trying to help me to work through this, so He's wanting me to share it with you to get some clarity, and it might help somebody out there. Anyway, I just wanted to start with a story that a word that I had 11 years ago in Tasmania, and I might have gleaned on this sometime through worship, but I had this word that someone had prayed over me, that they just saw me as a car that was just being pulled apart and deconstructed, and just I was in pieces, and the pieces were all lined out on the ground like as a mechanic would pull apart an engine and put the pieces in the right place. But then he said, you are this car, and God has. Don't think that this is God deconstructing you, because he does come and save us. He does come to live in us. But he does come to take stuff out of our life that doesn't belong there. Wrong thinking, wrong actions, wrong thoughts. And so he said, yeah, your life is just on this mat, and it's all parts, car parts. But the thing is, he's not just going to he's not just going to put you back together and clean you up. He's going to put brand new parts in you, and you're going to be like a sports car, a red sports car. It's a fast car, and it's so much different than the old model and the old ways of thinking that you used to be in. And I had thought, you know, you get a word at times and you think, oh, I know what that's about, because you relate it to what you've already been through and that moment. At that moment, at that time of my life, that was just after my sister had died. So I thought, oh, what's all to do with that? Sorry, I just really didn't want to cry today. He was really deconstructing my Christian walk. I mean, he does it all, but I think he deconstructed what I thought to believe was God, and what I thought that was rock solid, and I could just run with that. And when God pulls you apart, and when he gives you an idea of who God is, you build that scaffolding and you shape your life around that. But then when it just falls down because it's scaffolding and it's not what God's put there, you're left wanting. And after my sister had died, there's hurt, and I've forgiven, but I've found in different circles in the church that it was not good to grieve if someone's died, because you should have faith that they're in heaven. And yes, I did. And yes, I do. But there wasn't any avenue to grieve at that moment in my life. And I also had people say, and I know you've probably heard me say this, and I know that God's working on it still in my life, but I had people say that if you got asked to pray, she would have lived. And that is so, so wrong in so many ways. I mean, of course it is, but it's an attitude that comes from this prosperity, speak it and it'll happen kind of faith. And it's becoming more and more obvious in the world as we read your words. Well, hopefully as you grow as Christians and you read the word and you hear that, you hear it say, no, I've just got to have more faith in my faith, or I've just got to hold on. I just got to ignore everything that I just got to listen to this new preacher because they've got a new revelation. And hey, look, there's signs and wonders happening there. Or it has to be true because look how many people go. But if you don't look at the word and see what the word says, and if you're just following a man, or if you're just following a thought, or someone's idea of revelation, you get so lost, and you can be left wanting. And I think what God was doing in that dream, in that vision that person gave, and it's still going on. I feel like I'm still being made new, because he's revealing the word to me, and I'm going, oh, that's not the Bible. I can pick it now because I've read the Bible, and we read the Bible, but we sometimes go, oh, I know what that means, and we gloss over a scripture, but we've got to know what it really does mean in that context. One of the things that is glaringly obvious to me today, these days, and where I feel that we need to come back to is the fear of the Lord, that we fear him, that we want to honour his word, and we don't speak without real sort of a humbleness, and that we speak his word correctly. And that's meaning keeping the word in the context that it's written in, because some people will grab a scripture out, like can't remember the one that everyone sort of bounces off everywhere, you know, about faith. Not anyway, doesn't matter. It'll come to me in a minute. But I felt that I was undone, and then I questioned everything. And then, because I was such a black and white person, I wanted to know that that what I began in my Christian walk was totally good foundation, and there was some great stuff, but there was some stuff that I read, I saw on TV from God preachers. I used to think Benny Hinn was wonderful, and he's you might like him, but like the thing is, it doesn't balance up with the word. There's so much, like if you it's just almost going back to Martin Luther's time. If you send in your money, we will pray for you, and there will be a healing touch of God. Like, I've heard him say these things. It's like, what? That's not what God says. That's what they were doing in the Catholic Church, and that's what Martin Luther was rebelling against. All the, you know, you had to pay for people to come out of purgatory, and so you got to, like some people go, oh, I love God TV, and I love to watch. Some of them are like, I just go, oh no, they're worse than listening to something that's not even Christian. Like, I don't want to pollute myself with some of the TV evangelists, and some of them, they've just, you know, they're really famous and they're really rich and they've got private jets and they fly everywhere, but they're not what the word says. And you have to find out what that is, because yeah, I won't name names, although I did one. but in Galatians 1, chapter 1, let's go to the word. I was just sharing that vision that I had about the car, but we'll go to the word now. This is in Galatians chapter 1, starting from verse 3. It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, that you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. We came out of putting hope in different things in life to make us happy, to give us satisfaction and fulfillment, to give us purpose in life. But we were found wanting with that, weren't we? If you've come here today and if you know Jesus as Saviour, then you know that He's the only way. To give you that fulfillment, to give you that peace. And I feel that I'm still on the journey of being put back together. I was really thinking it'd be done by now. It's like a decade. It's 11 years. I thought, come on, is the JUCO being painted now? Is the... Like, I don't even know. Maybe the engine's just got in, or maybe there's still parts missing out of me. But I know that I need to trust in Christ alone for my salvation, not in faith for faith's sake. I was, you know, there was in the late early 90s, they were saying, if you pray this prayer, these are Pentecostal preachers, said, if you pray this prayer every day, you will find the favour of God. If you do this prayer every morning and you make sure you do it for 20 minutes and then do this and then do this and do this. But it says that Jesus has died for us. He has paid the penalty for our sins. There's nothing we need to do to find favour with him. He already loves us. But he calls us into righteousness. He calls us, he says, won't you come and be with me? Just won't you come and hear how I want you to live? And as we read the word, we go, oh, I shouldn't kill anymore. Right. I mean, we already know that one. It's a no-brainer. But sexual immorality. I mean, in the church, it just seems to be like, oh, well, it's all right because we'll eventually get married. No, it's not. It's not all right because it's like God's listed it out. And there's also, you know, gossiping. These are the things that are really common to us and that we... Like, oh, well, everyone does it. Well, he's called us not to do that. He wants his family holy. And, yeah, we fall down every day. Every day we sin. Every moment sometimes. Like, And then if you think, oh, I didn't even sin in that last moment, you just did because you're so proud about it. So it's like mucked up again. But we got to know that we just got to fall at his feet and say, you know, you just lead me. I'm just going to follow you, just like a little child. That's why he gave us that image. That's why he said, he gave the, you know, the pictures of the lamb following the shepherd. If you've seen sheep, they, well, it doesn't really mirror here. Although, if you see the little tractor, the little, you know, ride on 4x4. If there's hay on there, the sheep are going after that. So that could be their shepherd. But, you know, in Palestine times, the shepherd he'd be looking after the sheep because they didn't have fences and they'd just stay near him because they knew they were safe from predators. And God has called us to just come and be with him and be around him because it's good for us. We don't have to get religious about it. We don't have to go, oh, have I said enough scriptures today? Oh no, God doesn't love me today. Oh, I can't talk to them because I'm not holy enough yet. I've got to go and read the Bible, then I'll be holy enough to go and talk to them. It's this Galatians, you know, he says, who's pulled you away? Like it's by grace that we've been saved. It says in Romans, it's by grace we've been saved, not of yourselves. So no one can boast. No one can say, I did it. I made it. Because I'd actually been pretty good as a child. You know, I had a good family. And, you know, my family were very clean. And we went to church every day. And then when I eventually gave my heart to the Lord, I really hadn't done anything, so I was already pretty good. It doesn't wash, because it says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, since we were born, when we're born, we're not innocent and pure. We're not. We're sinful. We're born into that. It's like our nature. Like in some animals, what's their nature? I'm thinking of something mean. A lion. Yeah, sometimes they look nice though when they're sleeping. So something meaner. What can you think of something meaner that's just really aggressive all the time? Like a crocodile. I was thinking a crocodile too. A Tasmanian devil, yeah. That's their nature, the crocodile, the Tasmanian devil. They just... They can't go... They can't. That's not their nature. It's not like the crocodile's going, oh, I love you like a cat. It's not his nature. But our nature is to sin. Our nature, that's our nature. It's not like... There's no one can say, but I'm a pretty good person. But that's exactly the thing that we've all said before we were a Christian, didn't we? And it's exactly the thing that you'll hear when you're talking to someone about the Lord. They'll say, oh, I'm a pretty good person. I go and serve at the homeless shelter every week. And, you know, 7 days a week I'm there. And I go to the nursing home and I feed them all. Like, you could come up with the best, most noble things, which are all brilliant things. Like, of course, we don't want to stop doing them because... But it doesn't save you. It doesn't say that, yes, you're good enough, you don't need Jesus, because we totally are all wanting and desperately in need of a saviour. We all are. And we have to remember, if we've been in Christ, if we've been a Christian, you know, 1 month or 40 years, we've still got to remember, I am a sinner. It's my nature. but I'm saved by him. And it should, every time, it should melt your heart, because you're just undone without him. We all are. And we all need him every day. Doesn't matter if you've been saved 5 minutes or 50 years, you're still so desperately in need of him. And we can't lean on new ideas of, oh, this is the new way to follow God. You don't really need to read the word anymore because this is a new revelation. I mean, this is where I'm going right out, like with the Mormons. They've got a new revelation. There's Joseph Smith has done away with the Bible because he got these ideas and thought, well, don't need that, don't need that. And he wrote the whole new Book of Mormon, he's called it. And they call it Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but it's got nothing to do with Jesus. And they say they pray to Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's the Jesus of Joseph Smith. And, you know, and with the Jehovah Witnesses too, you know, it's just taken another gospel way out, and it's deceiving many. And how many are in the Mormon Church? And you can't say, oh, but they're good people, so they're so kind, and they are. They're so nice. They are really nice people, but they're going to hell. That's it. If they don't have Jesus in their life, if they haven't surrendered to the lordship of Jesus, they're going to hell. And we try and avoid saying that because we don't want to be unkind. But that's the thing. If you don't have the Lord in your life, you know, we're all going to die. Don't even have to prophesy that. You know, we're all going to die one day. One day we will be standing before the throne of God. And, you know, there's a book of life, it says in Revelation. And the angel will look in the book of life and he'll look for your name. And if your name doesn't appear in the book of life, then you're not getting in. But how do you get your name in the book of life? How do you get it in there? You just say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. And that's why we die to ourselves and live for God. That's why when we go get baptized, it's a funeral. It's a funeral when you get baptized. That's what's happening. You're dying. You're just saying, that's the end of me. That's the end of me. Yep, it's also saying, I'm standing with the Lord. I'm standing in his family now. But it's actually a funeral service of sorts, because as you go under the water, it's your old man dying. And then you come up a new creation in Christ. And this is what God's called us to. He's called us to a new life altogether. And he's also called us to lay down our lives constantly, because there are things that he goes, okay, I've saved you, I've redeemed you, you're mine now, you're mine. Okay, now we're going to work on some things. And he'll do it for the entire rest of your life. There's no stopping. He's not going to get to the age of 43 and a half and go, you're perfect now. And then you go on to 95 and, oh, I've been perfect for so long. Well, we are perfect in God. Like when God looks at us, he sees Jesus, but he's always working on us, because we're still sinners saved by grace, and he's still working Christ into our life, where we've got to become less. It's not what we want to do. It's what he wants. And we got to love what he loves and really hate what he hates, but not get religious about it in terms of um, just self-righteous. I don't know. I'm still working through that because, God, there's things that I hold back on saying to people because I don't want to offend them. God's He makes you more bold as you go on in your walk with Christ. But, yeah, then there's times where you speak and there's times to be silent, but he does call you to be bold and speak because time is short. You don't know when, if he's calling you to speak to someone and you know that they're, you know, they need a saviour, you just got to say it and you got to die to yourself. And that's hard. We all struggle with that at times. Sometimes we're just so bold and then we think, oh, wow, I'm so good at that. And you think, well, actually, God helped me to do that. So I shouldn't get any of the glory for that because he gave me the ability to just speak out boldly. I feel that I just want to get back to really singing songs that glorify God, not there's some songs that are a bit wishy-washy that we've sung before, I know. I just want to examine things but not get so tied down that I'm just focused on that. I've got to focus my thoughts on him and ask him to keep changing me daily. I thought of a song I just want to read out the words, actually, just to finish. It was a song that Steve Grace, when I first got saved, I got a cassette of Steve Grace, and he had this hymn in it. I think it's a hymn, isn't it, Leon? That one, I hope. And I couldn't find him singing it, so I'm just going to read out the words. It goes like this. I'm not going to sing it, I'm just going to read it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. We're called to just come and live for him. And don't be distracted by even Christian things on telly, like on God TV, that are, you know, if you do this, if you tithe to, if you give to this ministry, then there will be a blessing in your family and there will be healing. Like, don't fall for it. Sad, but we have to call it out and call it what it is. And putting faith in a man rather than in God, you know, we really got to guard our hearts and make sure he's number one in our life. So thanks for listening to me. I'm sorry I cried. But God's still working on me, as he is all of you. I've got to 50 now and he hasn't finished. Like a saying, he's not going to finish until we die. The day we die and we're made perfect in him. Like we are raised up to eternal life. We will be found in the book of life. If we've given our hearts to God, if we've given him our hearts to Jesus and said, you're number one in my life now, the angel will say, yes, his name is there. Her name is there. And God will say, enter into the joy of the Lord. This is what we all are going to hear if we've given our hearts to him. Not if we've tithed right and not if we've made sure we've read the Bible 20,000 times and not if we've made sure but that we've honoured him and we've obeyed him, that we just live for him, that he's saying, you're mine. There's nothing that can take you away from me.